Hello, it is me, Ronald, and we are back with another episode of the Nante Japan podcast. I am joined today by my co-host, Hannah.
Yo!
And we have a special guest, a friend of the show who is returning after it's been a while, but special guest, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm back. This is Rio. Last time I popped in was probably the year-end episode, which was very fun. But yeah, I write and edit the Japanese music newsletter, This Side of Japan.
Yeah, where can people find you on Twitter? Because you're very active there.
Oh, it's Sneak SN, three E's and a K. You can find me there. Just talking about random Japanese music related things.
So, the reason we have a special guest today is because basically we spent the first few days of, also to say first few days of Japan, like it just existed out of nowhere. The first few days of July, another J word, together. Where were we?
I have completed my nefarious plan to drag Ronald to every single major anime convention by dragging people to Anime Expo. Woohoo!
Yes, this is Hannah's payback for having me take her to a Johnny's concert in March. She was just like, I'm gonna
Okay,
get
I enjoyed the Johnny's concert, but this is payback for that time that we had to go to a Pottery Street.
back. Oh, I love pottery. Hannah's referring to
Oh, son.
basically, actually 2 weeks from now is a year from when we were in Korea, which is like really crazy to think about how fast that's gone by. And I made her go pottery shopping with me, but enough about that. We went to LA, we went to Anime Expo. So I must say, Anime Expo started off with me missing my flight. Yeah, I missed my flight. So I missed the first day, which was Friday. No, I didn't miss the first day. I missed the preview day, because it was like we were supposed to go to a party on Friday, which we didn't go to. Well, I missed my flight.
Yeah.
So,
It was
Hannah.
weird because usually this party happens they call it day zero, right? But it did not happen day zero, apparently. And it didn't happen at all for us. Apparently, if you were invited, it was day two. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. But yeah, it's fine because we were pretty busy all the other days.
So
Because
Hannah,
the con started on Saturday. Why?
but what went down on day zero? Like anything, something that happened on day zero actually that I didn't find out about until after, until after I got home, was that there was a Ginger Root concert.
That I didn't know.
Ginger.
Yeah, there was a
Really?
Ginger Root concert in LA, and it was like kind of like one of the ancillary events, I guess, like the Oda Quest of this year's Anime Expo, was the Ginger Root concert. I was like, I would have went to that if I had known about it, but I didn't.
Oh
I'll
yeah, there were
reserve
like a
my opinions
bunch
on Ginger
of
Root.
there's a lot of those sorts of ancillary concerts. I think I went to the one with Demon Dice in it and a couple of others.
Yeah, that was on day zero. Everyone was like handing out flyers, right? Is that that one?
Yeah.
And then
Because there were a bunch of
which
them.
one's the one Toriyana was supposed to play? Was that day zero? Was that during the midweek?
I
I
think that
think
was
it might have
day
been day
two.
one.
Oh.
I
But
remember because I really wanted to go, and I realized it was the day before the Hololive concert, and the Hololive concert was day one. So,
so nothing
I
really
mean,
happened at day zero.
yeah.
Not on my end.
So
I
we can
think.
go to day one. Day one begins with me actually making it to LA. I made my flight.
Yay!
I
I
did
met
feel.
Hannah and Ronald with
Yes.
Hannah dancing to, I think, AKB at
Oh,
the.
yeah!
At the
Was it
King
King
Records group.
Records panel? That was the most appropriate way to be introduced to both to Ronald and Hannah.
Yeah, it was a King Records booth.
Hannah was just like, because I landed and I'm like, I'm on my way to the hotel. I'm on my way to the hotel. So I got to the hotel and then Hannah was not there. She had already like escaped to go to the expo and I met her there. It was a zoo. I was just like, oh my God, there are so many people. So many people. And she found me though. And we went to the King Records booth and I got to see her do her dance. In her
yeah.
I was glad to hear a pop team epic. That was
good. Ue saka sumire, sumipi. Let's go.
Oh my God, but they were playing an AKB song and I don't know if that was because I was like, you know, like jet lag or lack of sleep or something, but I actually was like singing along to the AKB song, unfortunately.
What do you mean, unfortunately? Just means that you're a hater.
Not a hater.
You're a hater.
But yeah, Hannah was dancing, and then our special guest appeared.
Yeah.
We had never met before.
Oh my God. So many people.
It's so funny because it feels like we've talked forever, but we had never actually met in person.
Yeah. Yes, that's the thing.
So, I have a question. What were your first impressions of us?
First, like, upon meeting you guys?
Yes.
I mean, basically, how you guys are with the podcast, really. Like, that's how I didn't have anything like out of the ordinary, just how I would. I mean, I already talked to you guys, like recording the podcast too. So it's like, it's just now I'm putting a face to it. So,
yeah.
But in it, like, I think you asked me this too, Ronald, like when we met. It's like, I don't think you guys really turned out any different than like how I imagined you guys.
Because the thing is, though, is that so many times when people meet people in real life, there's that meme of just like, I met my internet best friend and I'm not feeling her. And it's just like, what? I've never had that experience happen to me before.
Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, it's like a meme that someone made like years ago. Just like, I met my internet best friend and I hate her.
What?
Because
I could never imagine that.
The experience is like, the digital experience is not the same as the in the flesh experience. Shout out to Utada, first US tour name. But Rio, do you remember what I said to you when I saw you for the first time?
Remind me.
I was like, I feel like you look like you should be in a band.
Oh, yes.
I was like, shouldn't you be like on the cover of like Rockin' On or something? You don't post photos, but if you want to imagine what he looks like, he just looks like a very cool guy that like is like, and I guess like Shimaki Tazawa about to like get his band discovered. He's about to stop playing like the little live houses and move on to the bigger live houses and get his magazine cover. Maybe a special corner on like Music Station or something. Yeah.
It's great to know I'm up and coming, not struggling.
Yeah. Up and coming. Like,
as soon as Ronald said that, I was like, wow, you do remind me of that guy from Ronald, like, I'm in a parade.
Oh my God.
No, he doesn't remind me of Kohei Fukunaga. Kohei Fukunaga. Because Ame no Parade. Shout out to Ame no Parade, former Ronald special project. You remind me a bit of just like, actually like a less zany version of Dress Codes.
Oh yeah, that too.
Like a more.
But every single one of them is like, so Ronald said this when he first went to Japan for the first time, but he was like, oh, they're all sad gays. And I'm like, the hell does that mean?
You know, that's how I'm going to describe myself to people. I'm rocking on Japan core. I feel like that just nails it.
Yeah.
That really does.
But we met each other. We all like introduced ourselves and we walked around. at some point, Hannah, where did you go? Because you disappeared and, like, left us alone.
Oh, so, okay. So the thing about Anime Expo and the reason why people go, despite the fact that, like, there's a lot of terrible things I could say about this con, but everyone still goes anyways. And one of the main reasons is because the kinds of tie-ins and collabs you see at this con are, like, stuff you can't get anywhere else. And one of those things this year, which apparently Crunchyroll changed it from last year because last year was like an open bar for an hour. This is a terrible idea because anime nerds are a bunch of fiends, myself included, who basically just like were not the cool kids in school. So we never got invited to the parties. So this is like our revenge, right? And what do people do at parties? They get drunk. So instead of doing like an open bar, they did like a sponsored bar. And it was a bunch of cocktails from the manga bartender, which was super cool because bartender, one of my favorite manga of all time, like focuses around, of course, like a bartender, right? And they serve up a bunch of drinks and each of the drinks like kind of tells a story about a random person. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are doing a bar with themed drinks. Let's go. So I went there and I posted a photo of me eating a danger dog with an open drink. And Ronald was like, you left us alone.
No. The thing is, though, is that you were gone for like, we were separated for several hours before then. You left earlier than then.
Did I?
You
so
did.
The thing is, it's all a blur.
It's all a blur. Yeah. I will say, me and Rio, we were walking around. We were gonna go to the one panel. What was that panel? It was
of Evangelion.
Yes, which basically we were like, oh, it's an Utada Hikaru panel, basically.
Basically was like, I'm dipping out. I have so much beef against everything, Evangelion, like, I am an Evangelion anti.
So we ended
this
up...
This news.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
I am an Evangelion anti, and I'm a Ghibli anti, and I will admit to both.
Well, I knew that, but you may want to keep the last part quiet.
Never! You'll never silence me!
Oh, God. But we did not make it to that panel because we walked past the panel like half an hour in advance. No line. Like, okay, let's just keep walking. We go back 15 minutes later. There's a line down the hall and around the corner and they're just like, sorry, no more entry.
Yeah. That right there. That's typical. That's very typical.
Like, where all these people come from in the space of 15 minutes?
How many people attended Anime Expo? Okay, so 392,000 people came. Turnstile attendance, which is like the number of people who went through the turnstiles to enter. Mm-hmm. So divide by three, that's like 130,000 people. And Saturday's always the worst day.
Yeah. So in lieu of going to the panel, we just went to the lounges. And
the lounges were pretty great this year, though, I thought.
Great!
What?
Okay. So we had industry and press passes. The only difference between the two lounges was one.
Oh,
had...
you're talking about those.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about those lounges.
Oh, well, one had white furniture and one had beige furniture. I was just like, okay. And like a water machine. I was like, okay. So like, I was thinking like, you know, like maybe some coffee. Cause you know, like we're working. So like we're writing things and doing industry stuff. So like coffee would be nice, but no.
No.
Food would be nice, but no.
They do not give you anything.
We went to the lounge.
You are there. You are there by the good graces of Anime Expo.
We went one of the lounges, and then, like, do you remember, Rio, do you remember, like, when that woman was just like, your badge says you're press, you can't come in here? It's like, well, we have a badge that says press and industry. And she was like, are you sure? I'm like, we scanned it and we got in.
I thought that would be sufficient, but I guess not.
I mean, like, so we're in the industry lounge, and then, like, I notice over in the corner, I was like, oh, Mason Gooding is here. And he has, like, a group of people standing around talking to him. For people who not know who he is, he's an actor. He was in, like, the 6th Scream movie earlier this year after the remake, not remake, but, like, the series was revived last year. The 5th one, he was in that. And he's in the 6th one, too. So, yeah. But he was there. I was like, oh. And I told my one friend, and he was just like, I'm not surprised that he's there, because he's really into anime. And I was just like, wait, is Megan Thee Stallion going to be in the industry lounge too? And he was like, I don't think so.
That would be fine. Nice.
That would be so funny. Shaquille O'Neal apparently, like, showed up at some point.
Yeah, he was like, at the weekend.
He was a DJ at one of the events, I remember. And you were why is he here?
Yeah, a lot of the anime fans are pretty mad about that. Understandably.
Why?
Very understandable. Because people were just like, yo, why the hell is it Shaq, and why is it not, like, somebody else? Blah, blah, blah. Mad anime fans. Always mad.
So I think Saturday was just, like, consisted of just, like, a walking around.
Oh, but we did go to one thing.
Oh, yeah. Saturday. Oh, yeah. I'll get to that in a moment. Oh, my God. Speaking of which, like, the whole, like, there was, like, a McDonald's inside, and, like, the Grimace shake thing.
Yeah, the Grimace shake. That was
I didn't have it. I don't eat purple food besides, it's just very unnatural. I don't like unnaturally colored things. If you guys remember the blue drink from last September's episode in Korea where Hannah tried to kill me.
I didn't kill you.
You tried to. You tried to give me Gargoyle's drink.
You mean the shark girl. And guess what? Rural saw Shark Girl this year.
I did.
Oh, God. But before that, so Saturday night one, Hannah truly got, she truly won. Where did we go, Hannah?
So I was like, we should go to a VTuber concert. And Ronald was just like, okay. And literally, we go to this concert. To be quite frank, the audience was kind of dead because it mostly consisted, we unfortunately missed the first part, which was Tacitly. And we were there for what was called Nonstop V, which was essentially a VTuber Taibon. And it was mostly of people that people just have never heard of. There were some fans, like one or two fans of some of the girls in each of the groups. But by and large, it was just very, like, up-and-coming VTuber acts. But it was great because Ronald literally goes, why do these girls serve more than current J-pop groups?
Oh, I did say that. And I was just like,
the production is great. That's why. This group knows how to put on a show.
Yeah, I was just like, wait, why are they actually serving more than real J-pop girls now? Oops.
Yeah.
Wait, there was that one girl that was like a fake Lisa?
Yeah. So I discovered a new, like, favorite, like, VTuber to follow. So she is a V singer by the name of Yuzu Tear. If you actually hear me, please actually check out her stuff, because she only has something like 10,000 followers, 5,000 followers. I don't know. So yeah, she's like kind of small, But it was really funny because you call her like a fake Lisa, which is true. The first song that she performed was very much like Lisa Court, right down to like the flag that she was holding.
Yes, it was like watching the Lisa music video.
Yeah, it really was. And then it was super funny because she performed like a completely new song. And I'm not gonna be around the bush. Not everybody was that great, and I was feeling kind of exhausted, so I was nodding in and out. But then I woke up to her part, and I was like, wait, this one's actually really good.
Oh, there was also the snake girl.
Yeah, so Jashin-chan is actually tied in with an anime, so she definitely was the biggest one by far. But I was really there for Gems Company because I had seen them before. So I was like, oh, it's Gems Company. Like, let's check them out. But like, yeah, all the acts that day were pretty good. Yuzuru Tear was really funny because me and my friend were trying to find her second original song for the longest time, only to realize that it came out like the week after. So you're like, oh, no wonder we couldn't find it.
It was like a world premiere situation at the VTuber concert.
Yeah, it was like really kind of sad though, because a lot of people were definitely making fun of the fact that like the crowd just wasn't feeling it. As in like the crowd seemed very unenthusiastic, right? And I'm just like, but you're talking about very, very small acts from Japan. Like, I don't know what people were expecting. Like, it's not gonna be a huge thing in the United States, especially because like VTubers are very, very dependent on clippers. And if you are a VTuber that's trying to get fans overseas, you're like triply more dependent. And so these acts were just by definition not gonna have a lot of fans. So I was just like, that's kind of mean. They're trying their best. Leave them alone.
I did find it interesting, though, that, like, actually watching the concert, I was like, wow, it actually does look like they're here in the room with us, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, so I actually got to talk to the company that put it together. It's called Vapollo. And Ro is going to laugh because they're the group that used to manage Sashihara's old VTuber girl, NotBot. So I was like, oh, like, wait a sec. I actually, like, recognize you guys. What the heck? So I was like, huh, hello. And she was like, yeah, like, we used to do NotBot and stuff. Like, it was pretty cool. And I was like, oh, this is actually pretty awesome. But yeah, it was a great first introduction to what a VTuber life should have been in person. I think.
I will say it didn't suck.
Shut the fuck up, man. You're just like, oh, I'm gonna fall asleep. And this is gonna suck so bad.
And you know what? I can't, in all honesty, I can't say it sucked.
It's funny because I think I might have been more bored than you were.
Well, I
because
guess
I'm more used to the spectacle
of VTuber
events, whereas like you weren't. So you weren't expecting them. So one of the things that I thought Vapollo did like a super great job of is they would like shift the camera angles a lot. I could tell they were more used to dealing with like a more in-depth stage because they would shift the camera angles and do like sudden costume changes in the middle, right? And I was like, wow, like you guys are definitely used to putting on these sorts of like both holographic and just like flat screen events. And I was like, wow, like very, very impressive. Very good job, right? But then you were like, whoa, this is so serving. And I'm like, yeah, because the production's really good.
You made me sound a bit too enthusiastic. I was just like, oh, they're serving. Not like, whoa, they're serving. Like,
no, like for you, your they're serving is should be counted as a whoa, they're serving, because like this guy literally hates everything that is we've core adjacent.
Okay. I will. Speaking of which,
were just about to say I agree.
No, but speaking of hating, Hannah hated on my outfit.
Oh yeah, he looked like, man, who dresses like a normie to an event like this?
No, I was wearing my Jiraiya t-shirt. And I was wearing like a pair of wide leg, like oversized shorts, one below the knee, and my like undercover collaboration Nike. So, you know, I was like feeling very like, you know, like Japanese streetwear, like a bit of anime manga with like a little bit of a gay twist. And Hannah said my outfit sucked, but
yeah, it did.
People were coming up. Some of the boys were coming up and being like,
hey. It's because normies go to AX too. Like, we don't bar normies from coming. Just know that you guys are normies.
Some of the gays there were just like, oh, I like your shirt. Where'd you get it? And I was like, oh, this is just old. Sorry.
I was there.
He witnessed it.
Man.
Oh, but speaking of which, after the VTuber concert, Hannah got to meet a good friend of mine, friend of the show, actually, that appeared one time. My friend Miguel appeared for a brief
Now.
He was previous on the podcast because me and him had a solo episode where we talked about Fishbowl Wives last year. So I made him watch it, and he was just like, what the fuck is this? But he loved it. So he appeared, and him and Hannah met for the first time after talking online for like a good while.
Yeah, that was super fun. I think, okay, so honestly, as a very, very long time, like, as a long time con goer, definitely the number one best part of going to conventions is the fact that like every single time you go, it's a great time to catch up with friends. There's a meme that like, I forget if it's like The Witcher or something, where somebody goes up to somebody else and is like, I haven't seen you since the plague. It's like a medieval show or something. Mm-hmm. But with like anime con goers, it's been an especially funnier meme because we'll see friends that we haven't seen since like pre-pandemic and we'll be like, I haven't seen you since the plague.
Literally.
Literally, yeah. But we have a weird sense of humor.
Hannah did not go out with us that night because she was up early and had to wake up early the next day. I didn't, but yeah. We went out and more people were saying, I like your outfit. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, because they're not anime people. They're not anime people.
Hannah's a hater. Anyway, day two.
I'm not a hater.
Day two, Sunday.
The day in which I drag out you guys to even more VTuber concerts. So, day two, I started extra early because I love being able to just, like, walk through the halls. So, one of the things about both industry and press badges is that you actually get the chance to kind of experience the halls with no people, which is great. I absolutely love doing that. I like going up to various industry booths, getting to talk to them, getting to like see what they're doing, what they bring. And especially when you're talking about Anime Expo, where every single industry booth is there to advertise something, it's an even more fun experience. So I go there. And I'm just like, oh, this is super fun. And then I get a text from my friend being like, hey, do you know how long the line is for... So, Anime Expo, also dubbed line con, one of the most notorious line cons, right? They're like, do you know how long the line is for Niji Sanji Ien? And I was just like, what? So I'm just like, oh my gosh, I gotta run. So day two, we're in, Hannah drags Ronald to yet another VTuber performance. Yay!
We all went to the VTuber.
Yeah!
We all went. It was, we were in a line. It wasn't that long of a line.
You say, but they turn people away.
I will say these girls, I don't know who these girls are. I mean, I've seen them like on my timeline due to Hannah before. These girls didn't serve.
Okay, so he's saying they didn't serve because the production quality for this one was a lot lower. He's just being a fucking hater. I am going to point out the fact that, like, this was meant to be, like, a freebie thing, I think, that was whipped up in, like, 3 seconds, whereas the live that we saw the day before was being sold online. What I will say was that that was the most loudest, like, Sanren Kairan chant I've ever heard in my life at any of the events that I ever went to, because you guys saw Diamond City Lights and you heard all the crazy people doing all the tiger chants and stuff. That was so good.
I just remember,
I was prepared to get banned.
I just remember sitting in front of, I remember like Hannah sitting like diagonally behind me and her saying, hey, can you like hold my phone and everything and like watch my bag? While I was like, oh shit, she's about to do her will to gay.
Yeah, because it's fun that way.
And then I hear, like over my, like to my, like behind me to the right. I'm like, oh, she's starting.
It's fun. Oh my gosh, you're such a hater. I've
never heard you that loud before in my life.
What's wrong with it? It's so much fun.
I didn't know your voice could go that high. Like loud, what? I mean, that loud.
Oh, yeah. I normally save my voice for those types of events, okay?
It was interesting. Wait a minute. Okay, so I'm trying to think. So Sunday consisted of the VTuber concert in the morning, like the early part of the day. And what else was Sunday?
So Sunday, okay, so around. The thing is, for me and Ro, it was very much VTuber day.
It was.
Because in the evening, we went to yet another VTuber concert. Something that has gained me a little bit of notoriety among VTuber fans, because, well, none of them were very public about it, right? But I did hear that some people were not very happy.
With you?
Yeah, because I was very critical. Oh, wow. I'm blocked by like twice the number of accounts that you are, man.
Okay. How many accounts are you blocked by, Hannah?
Like 400?
Okay, so the other day, Oomph was just like, oh my god, I'm blocked by... Actually, if Oomph is listening to this, this is Mikey, because Mikey, I know they listen to, and they're just like, oh my god, I'm blocked by like 80 people. Ronald, you must be like blocked by like a shitload of people. And I check, and I'm just like, oh, 275. And I was like, Hannah, I feel bad. I'm blocked by 275 people. She's like, how many have I checked blocked by? And then she's like, oh, I'm blocked by like the double the amount of people you are. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
Between like my political opinions, the fact that like I have a bit of notoriety for Hololive, and a lot of Hello Project fans think I'm a hater for some reason.
You are.
I think I'm not a hater.
You are. Well, you're not a hater. You're just realistic about like their stature. Like I'm sorry, but the thing is though is that like for the past decade, I mean, this doesn't really happen that much anymore, but I would say like about 8 years ago, there were still people posting in the comments on like Kohaku lineup and like Music Station lineup and like FNS, like, where's Morning Musume? I'm like, it's not, it's 2016, not 2006.
Oh my god, that reminds me of the Morning Musume thing we saw that day from, like, I forgot what it's about, but...
Which one was that again? Man, there was so like much Robert happening. It was
something like TikTok or something.
I'm trying to remember.
Forget it. No. It's like, they call Morning Musume something else. I wish I remembered. It was so funny.
Oh my god, do you remember when we were playing that instrument that looks like a music note?
Yes, automaton. That was so fun.
I was like, what is this?
Oh yeah, that's like
what automaton is.
It's very cute.
It is. It's very funny. Everyone loves it because it's like kind of
such a novelty.
I don't want to call it like ironic, but it's definitely funny.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, a part of the appeal is like, wow, you can actually play something like with this machine or instrument, I should say. It's like people get down on the automaton.
Yeah, and like some of the songs that people come up with are really good, actually.
There's something else that like I saw. I'm trying to think of like what else. Oh my god. There was some Ultimate game that we saw. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ultimate Sengoku. So I tried to get the person to do like an online stream thing, but he unfortunately wasn't. But they're still like really open to like talking to us and stuff. But it was really cool because that was one of the panels I really wanted to go to because it's one of the special types that I'm talking about where, like, you have actual industries running these, like, panel events where they talk about, like, various things, right? But that game company is actually pretty old. They run some of the larger Ultimate games in the industry. So stuff like, I think it was, like, Obey Me or something. There were a couple of other ones that I'm forgetting. But yeah, like they have a bunch of really, really cool ones. And you were like, wow, like all these boys like just look weird.
No, I did not say that. Actually, I will make a confession. We saw one of the games and like I stopped because I was just like, wait, is that Kotokumi playing? Because it was like a Kotokumi music video for one of the games, because she made the theme song for one of the games. And then like this guy came out dressed like a VTuber or like a host or like looking like a supporting member. And he was just like, he came out after the video and he was like, okay, that video, slay! And I was like, oh lord.
Yeah, verbatim.
And then they were just like,
oh my gosh.
They were like, pick your favorite guy from like this, like, from like this poster. And I was like, wait, these anime guys are actually serving.
Wait, you thought they served? You did not tell me that you thought they served.
I thought the anime cartoon character guys were cute. Okay. I was like,
whoa, I really won. Oh my gosh. I was
like, wait a minute. I get how people get into this. Like,
I'm shooketh.
They were very mask presenting, Hannah.
I'm shooketh.
I guess it's time to show Ronald 2.5D boy groups.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the boy groups that are meant for gays.
I mean, it was like I felt very targeted. There was like abs and a Kotokumi song.
You should feel targeted. You should feel targeted all the time. Hey.
I think that was like the same day we were walking around. Oh my god. There was, I don't know. Rio, are you okay talking about the other part we went in or no?
Yeah, sure. I know where you're referring to.
I was just like, what is this long line? And then, like,
I would never go to that part willingly. Just so you know, like, I have never willingly gone into that section of a con before.
That's what Ronald said about you.
I was like, Hannah would never come to this part. I was just like, what is this long line? And why is it blacked off? Oh, I know what this is. And we went in, and it was like, oh, okay, like, big boobs. Okay.
It's also just the fact that, like, they deliberately... Okay, so it's also not something I would have recommended to you guys either. Mostly for Ronald. Because they deliberately exclude gay men for some reason. And this actually, like, pisses me off to no end.
I wouldn't expect it.
Well, you're also talking about the group of people that are responsible for, like, something like 65% of the world's gay content for porn. Right? Like, the number one game right now that is selling in Taiwan, which is, like, one of the largest, like, mobile game markets on the face of the planet, is this very, very explicit gay game. And you can't
Wait, what? I think I know what... Okay. So, sometimes I will get ads on certain sites, and... And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, this feels very targeted because it's like an ad for a game. And it's literally like, it's like a very hardcore game. And then, like, the soundtrack in the back is like a city pop song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's made by weebs.
And I'm just like, this is so targeted.
Yeah, it is targeted. Because, like, it's also, you look at the game and you kind of understand that it's, like, definitely made by somebody who had, like, not just straight women in their mind, right? That's what I consider, like, superior gay BL games.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so, like, New Carnival is definitely one of them. But, like, you're literally at a fucking anime convention. It's one of the largest demographics that consumes and produces, like, gay porn in general, right? You're really gonna tell me you're not gonna have a single section for the gays? Really?
And there were a lot of gays there, but like in the con in general, but like I just remember going and being just like, what are we going to see in the 18 and up section? And it was just like, okay, big boobs. Rio, what did you think of that section?
I mean, what else did I expect? It was, yeah, I don't know. It's exactly what you'd expect an 18 plus section to be. I don't know. It's
it's very straight conforming for an 18 plus section at, like, because, like, even when you go to Comic Con, right, yes, there's going to be a lot of boobs everywhere, but they're also very mindful to, like, not forget all the girls in the crowd. Like, they're extremely mindful to remember, oh, hey, like, there's a bunch of girls here, too. Like, let's remember them. So,
yeah, I mean, it's what you would expect, like, you know, like, what's the word, like, you know, like, oh, I like anime, it's like, oh, just like hentai or something. It's very kind of tasteless, and like what you would, like, what people who don't know the thing about it would imagine. It's like, you know.
It was actually quite tame because you said hentai, and like the one stereotype people still have about it is like tentacles, and like that wasn't even there. It was actually quite tame. It was just like, oh, here is a body pillow with, like, a girl with, like, whose top came undone. Oh, okay. Big boobs.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, just strictly just, like, the commercial, I guess you can say. Just mm-hmm. selling... I mean, obviously, like, there's obviously probably more tasteful, like, you know, like I guess sexually oriented stuff you could probably sell there, but it's just really like, okay, buy something and go.
It was very rated R, not
rated pretty X. Much.
It was
rated R. Wasn't the NR. It wasn't the NR section.
It was wasn't the NC-17, the NR, the X, triple X.
Yeah.
It was just R.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Do you know what my favorite parts of Sunday was?
What?
Shout out to Pine and Crane, the Taiwanese restaurant that we went to.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you took us there the next day or what have you.
Yeah.
Great
place. Was really good.
Yeah, and really cheap. Like
super cheap, super good. I'm definitely gonna bring all of my AX buddies there because the thing is, right? You go to a lot of cons. Not most people are going to be like spending all their money doing shit like getting autographs and stuff. They're not really going to be eating well. So, yeah, it's that place was great.
How about have some stir-fried eggplant and brown rice? Yay.
Yeah, you eat what you can eat.
And they play City Pop there on the soundtrack.
Yeah, they know their audience.
But yes, that place is very good. So if you're in downtown LA, Pine and Crane. There's another one somewhere else in LA, but Pine and Crane, go there. It's very good. I remember we were walking there and I was reading Twitter and there was something that popped up on my feed and I was like, oh, that's not good. But we'll talk about that later in the show. But continue. But you guys went to the VTuber concert.
Yes, the Hololive English concert.
You sounded just like Patrick when you said that. Okay, that's another realization, is that, like, being around him so much, I was just like, you sound just like Patrick. Like, Patrick St. Michael, Saint-Michel, as I say, because I speak French. Like, you two sound so similar. Because, you know what it was? I was just with Patrick, like, a week earlier when I was in Japan. And I was with you. And I was just like, wait, same voice.
It's the SoCal-ness, I guess.
He's one of the Cals, I think.
So how was the concert, the Hololive concert?
Oh, man. Like, okay, Ro, you go first, because I'm going to be
okay. Yeah, well, what's it called? I mean, first, I didn't know what to expect. This was my first VTuber concert. Both, I never streamed one. I'd never been on, like, you know, in person. So I didn't really know what to expect. What I came about, like, first of all, what I kind of loved was that, like, it's the music is very J-pop, just to make it kind of simple. But it's like a lot of, like, the first song that they opened with was like the traditional idol song, twinkly and, like, you know, very like sparkly stuff, like almost anisong kind of. And then a lot of like very popular now J-pop, like, I'm Hannah's favorite. What is her name? Psycho. Who is that?
Oh, Hakko's Bales. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I don't remember if that was actually produced by like Teddy Lloyd, but it was like very adult-core.
Yeah.
So which is it's very nice to just hear like J-pop in a concert. You don't get to hear that very often. I mean, you know. That being said, it's like, I guess the hybrid, I guess you can say, of virtual and IRL, for lack of a better word. It's like, I expected, it just seemed like a very traditional IRL concert. The opening reminded me of like Idol concert, in the sense that like, the opening is this like overture that like introduces all the members you're about to see. the theatrics and intermissions, emceeing felt kind of traditional in a way. Interactions, visuals. It just seemed it's IRL concert, which it was like their spectacle for sure. But I guess in the sense of the platform being, VTuber, very fresh, new, still needs to be explored concept. It's like, okay, it's basically, it's nothing like incredibly novel per se. It's just like, okay, VTuber concert. It's just like any other concert. I mean that in in more of a neutral way. It's like, if you have this like wacky idea of what a VTuber concert is or have you, it's like, you know what? Let's bring that down to earth. It's more ordinary. It's at least through what I saw through Hall of English. It's like any other concert you might've seen, they kind of what they brought, which has its, pros and cons that we could probably explore here, which, like I said, I wish the concept was more what they executed was more unique to the platform, whatever it's like hybrid of, virtual and IRL. But in terms of the concert, it wasn't bad. It's just, like I said, I feel like it wasn't uniquely VTuber, as you could put it.
So I feel like our thoughts are very similar. It's just that I have the added, the reason why a lot of Hololive fans are mad about my review is because I explicitly called out the fact that, it was very clear that more than half the audience had never really watched any of the other, Hololive concerts. This felt like a shittier second-gen fest, where they're just kind of starting to get used to the idea of VTuber concerts, and they're not really sure what they could do, which was really sad. I was just like, come on, because if I had to pick, I actually thought the day before was infinitely better, the Nonstop V concert. And I say that because Nonstop V had a better understanding of the fun things they could pull off that only a VTuber concert could do, which I don't think Hololive properly utilized. And that's not to get into the fact that I just didn't think any of the guests were utilized that well either, which was really sad. But that's more a personal gripe. Everything else is more just you guys have no idea how to make your concert uniquely VTuber, which is really sad, because this is one of the largest VTubing companies in the world. So I'm just come on, get it together, cover. Yeah, I hope this is not what the next one is going to be like.
I think it's interesting you mentioned the crowd and then the temperature, I guess you could say, of the crowd, which is, seem more like they haven't seen much before, because it just seemed if this was the intro to Hololive to people who have never spoken of it, it's the thing is, I imagine the best entry point of VTuber is just, obviously watching the streams, any clips of it, following through, building that, it's more of an unhinged, I guess you could say, look at the VTuber. You mentioned also in the Neji Sanji concert we saw earlier that day, they're more unhinged than this. It just seems more censored in a way. It's it's the emceeing was kind of stiff in the sense. And then if you're gonna get your personality out there, I feel like this concert was not the best way to look at it. In my mind, I was this, you first watch the streams and then you go to this concert. And then if this is your first concert, it's not the best look into their personalities. So that's why I was I thought in my mind, this is for people who've all already watched it before, who's familiar with it. I don't know.
It was really sad too, because to a certain degree, I was also just oh, it kind of sucks that, to your point about the MCs, it was extremely clear that the MCs were very scripted. The way that Mume and Iris talked, so they were two of the members, right? The way that they were talking immediately told all the fans, by the way, you know, they're not talking as themselves. Like, we wrote this for them. So all the fans are like, oh, okay, I see what we're dealing with. So like the nicer Hololive fans are like, this felt like a Gen 2 concert. To those who know, that's code for, wow, like, get your shit together.
And then, like you said, like, I wish the interactions with the, so it was the Japanese branch and I think the Indonesian branch that came by. Right. Yeah. So it was, you know, it was a guest appearance, but it's like, okay, it just seemed like, okay, it's more obligatory in a way. It's like, I'm supposed to be here. Nothing too unique of like, they're showing up in between. I mean, I'm glad I saw, like, Suisei Hoshimachi, don't get me wrong, but, yeah, I don't know.
It was really sad because I was actually, like, super looking forward to it. I remember specifically messaging, like, our friends over at Vegas being like, holy shit, like, Muna's gonna be there? Am I gonna see, like, oh, like, there's a specific song by Muna that I'm forgetting the name of. I think it's High Tide. Yeah, High Tide. But like, I know the live for that is insane, right? So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually gonna see this live. And then I see it and I'm like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to kind of show the history of Hololive in a concert. But it's also just like, every person who is sitting down for the concert, right? With the exception of like people like you who are like kind of there for the first time and maybe somebody else was dragged along, right? Like, I don't know. But with those small caveats, every other person in that room knows Hololive, right? To a certain degree. And so like, we already know the history. You don't got to tell us. Like, show us some other songs. Surely you could take some of the Deco 27 covers that you did earlier this year, because they released a double CD with Deco 27 with like a bunch of really, really cool units. And I'm like, even at Fest, they talked to each other. The gens didn't even talk to each other. I didn't even know Council and Myth knew each other until they like came back for the last song. I was like, oh, wow, right. They are part of the same company.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's a no man's land and where they land. It's like, it's not for people who don't know, absolutely don't know it, but it's like, it's still like spoon feeding or like a super basic information for people who like are super into them. It's like, you know, if you're going to like cater to people who already have known them, follow them forever, it's like, I imagine more like emceeing tailored towards them, like maybe some inside jokes from a stream or... I know it's like alienating to like people like me that don't know it, but I'd rather have you go all the way, like, you know, into the fandom. To me, it's better. I don't know if I'm alone in this. I'm pretty like, I like being dropped into fandom, not knowing a thing, and then just like being alone. Like, oh, what are they talking about? Like, I gotta catch up. Like, I'm more of that kind of person. So it's like, I'd rather have them almost lean into like the deep fandom in a way, rather than just through this awkward middle that it kind of satisfies neither people.
Yeah. And it was also really sad because I wasn't able to go to the production Kawaii concert, which was the day before. But I did hear that, like, I watched a couple of reviews and I talked to some people who went. And there was a lot more interaction with the audience that made it very, very clear that, like, the girls were physically... For the production Kawaii Live, they were physically there. So, like, in terms of, like, the visual spectacle, it was maybe, I want to say, like, half of what we got for Hololive, right? Not that Hololive really used the stage well, because I actually thought, again, that Nonstop V was better. But In exchange, though, there was a lot more interactions with the audience that the audience really appreciated. Because I remember talking to one friend who went, and they were just like, yeah, like, the songs were clearly tailored for us. Us as in, like, the chat that would show up every single day. Like, it was clearly made for people who were very happy to just, like, be there in the presence of their Oshi and breathing the same air and, like, that kind of parasocial shit. Like, sure, the song choices might not have changed, but the MCs definitely did. And it was really sad because it may have been a while since I've watched, like, some of their streams, but I definitely remember their personalities being a lot more standout than this.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, like, to me, like, even with, like, an idol concert, that's, like, you, like, yeah, they follow, like, really leaning into it really helps. So, like, it just seems more genuine. It just seems more like they're, like,
yeah,
that intimate connection that you want to get into. That's what's, you know, that's makes it more appealing, where you draw, you use your fandom in the sense that, like, make yourself look more appealing to people who are outside of it. But yeah, I mean, like on the flip side, like I said, like, it's just really nice to hear all the, like the songs are good. That's what's like what they have, you know, on the, if they don't have the personality, they definitely have the songs. Like, if they don't, if the artists themselves don't have it, they had covers for it, which, you know, they picked the right covers, I think, for the people, yeah, as well as the actual platform of it. Like, I really liked hearing the Suisei Hoshimachi cover, not only because I like the song, but it's just, like, very dramatic, very, like, emotional heavy. It just very paired well with, you know, that size of a stage. So, like, it just, like, the song, it's just really nice to hear, like, these very big J-pop sounds in that kind of setting. Like, you never really get to, like, Otto is never, like, it's so far away still for Otto to, like, come here or any, you know, like, so for that stature. So it's just, to me, it's like wish fulfillment in that kind of way.
To be frank, though, I feel like Otto could, like, pull off a US tour. At least in three cities. But, like, I don't know if the financial trade-off is worth it. That being said, like, it was really funny. Okay, so I'm going to be frank. I was with a couple of friends. I may or may not have talked about them in my review. So, friends, you know who you are. I'm going to out you again. It was really funny because we were all kind of wondering, like, oh, like, what are they going to do for, like, so you just mentioned Ina, and there was another member by the name of Fauna, and we were like, their original songs are kind of slow. Like, you think they're going to do them again? And other people were like, nah, nah, they never repeat songs for Fest. Like, they're not going to repeat it for this. So the moment Ina covered Suisei, my friend, who shall not be named, literally loses his metaphorical shit and just starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And there's, like, a clip of him out there where, like, in between the sets, you can hear someone, like, faintly screaming, I love you, Ina, right? That's him. Because we're all just like, like, we hope, like, you know, they replace it with a better song that, like, kind of fits the set list more. And that was, like, definitely one of them. Fauna also did a cover. I forget exactly which song she did, but it was, like, that I thought was super well done, especially with, like, Ahmed, like, repeating a song. Usually they never let people repeat songs, but for her, I think because it was the fact that it was the first US Live, because she's first gen, because of the fact that, like, she kind of introduced, she was part of the generation that kind of, like, introduced VTubing to a lot of Americans. Like, they let her repeat that one, so that was really fun. And two of the girls actually unveiled new songs for the set, which was super exciting. And, like, sure, the entire crowd did not know how to do SSS, but you know what? Like, my friends and I, we definitely did. We were sitting right behind Yagu, And let's just say, I guess Yago and cover staff know that there are at least 12 crazy fans who know the entire, like, call list, calls to Shiny Smiley Story. So, hell yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah, I thought SSS was a highlight, too. Like I said, it's like that, like, idol sound that I love that I never thought I would be able to hear in, like, a big stage. Like, I thought I was at an idol live, and then combined with, like, you know, the fans doing chants, the pen slides and stuff, it just seemed like I was actually at an idol live, and that was very fulfilling for me.
To be frank, I thought, like, the fan chants were, like, Diamond City Lights. So Diamond City Lights is also, like, a very, very similar song. It was the ending song to the Niji Sanji set list. Like, that's how a chant should be done. Hopefully, like, there's a call guide that comes out for SSS in the United States. And also, I think for the very final song, too, because... The new Connect the World song, like, I could hear what they were trying to do with it, and I was just like, I'm gonna memorize all the calls! I will memorize all the calls! But the entire audience did not. That was sad. But it was still, like, nice to be able to see it performed with a bunch of other fans who are clearly all diehard.
Oh yeah, there's never a doubt that, like, they were just casual fans. No, no way.
Yeah. So that was the experience. I do have to say, it was kind of funny though, because, like, I think for me personally, it was also a nice respite where VTubing has not been fun this year, I want to say, and, like, this week also included, it kind of sucked. So it's nice to be able to, like, get to see other fans in person. There's something about that that's, like, very fulfilling.
It's also just nice to see, like, who, like, what kind of people like VTubers. Like, that was my first experience. Like, what's the audience like? What do they look like? What, like, gender are they? Like, you know, what do they identify as? Like, that was kind of nice to see, like, a real, you know, turnout.
Although, speaking of which, it was super funny. So, like, usually the end of the concert is the worst time to, like, go to the bathroom, right? So I was telling other people this, but, like, I went to the bathroom at the end of the concert, and, like, usually that's, like, the absolute worst time to go because everyone wants to go at the end. You're not missing anything. So I go at the end of the concert, and it's like, holy shit. Like, there's maybe 19 other girls in this entire in this entire arena. I was like, there's 19 other girls, and I know 10 of them.
So I mean, does that surprise you?
Well, I knew the gender ratio was bad, but goddamn, I didn't think it was that bad. Like, I forget, did you come with me to Yard House after?
No, I was there before, but not after.
Right. Okay, so, like, after all these, like, big concerts at an anime convention and stuff, people will usually, like, do what's known as, like, the Yard House Social. I call it the Yard House Social. I don't know what other people call it. But we do, like, a Yard House Social after. And what ends up happening is that, like, we'll all go to that one Yard House together. And everyone will know everybody else. It's like this huge, like, it's like one of those socialite parties, but, like, but, like, with a bunch of, like, weebs.
And not Yard House.
Yeah. It's literally just that Yard House. It's,
wait,
like,
is this where I had my take that everyone was mad at?
Which one?
Which one?
I was just like, oh, after seeing VTubers, I kind of get it. It's kind of like, Perfume.
Did I say Love Live?
Wait, you said Love Live meets Perfume. And, yeah. and that's why everyone got mad.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not because you said Perfume.
Perfume isn't controversial. It's the Love Live part.
Yeah!
It's Perfume equals VTubers. And people were just like, no. Do you want to die?
I mean, like, you're not wrong. But I also don't want to admit that you're right.
Yeah, we heard an extensive reason of why Love Live should not be named.
Why?
Wait, which one?
Why should Love Live not be named?
Just like, there's like an antithesis between like the Love Live live aesthetic versus VTubers. Like, with VTubers, right, everybody cyclones. Or you should be cycloning. Like, if you're not cycloning, you're doing something wrong, right? But with Love Live, they ban UOs. How could you ban UOs? Why would you do this to us? This is like...
What's
this
a
like,
UO?
Okay, so UOs are ultra oranges. Basically, when you hear a song and you get, like, really, really hyped up, right? At the climax of the song, this usually happens for like very, very like pop rock songs, particularly.
Is you'll it a that?
No, not that thing.
What
it's
is that thing called?
A glow stick. Oh, so that's the ooh high call or the PPPH call, depending on which one you're talking about. Because I can never tell with how you vocalize these things. Everything sounds the same.
What, when
so,
I
yeah.
vocalize them or when other people?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
Oh, gee. Okay.
I'm not saying that you're bad, but like...
It's yeah. not my thing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you definitely don't know what you're doing. So yeah, like, you know, you guys are a bunch of idol fans. Like, this is the largest idol group probably. In the US, like, act like it, guys. Please. So yeah, crack your UOs, go crazy. Don't be like Bushimo. Don't ban ultra oranges from your concert, because that's not cool.
What's the thing we did at Yard House with a glow stick?
Oh yeah, that's the UO kanpai.
Okay.
Where you get a bunch of very, very large, like, beer glasses, and you just go, kanpai, and you crack all of your glow sticks together, and you do your UO kanpai. I forced both of these guys to do it. It was great.
My first time at a Yard House, actually.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I've been to Yard House so much, I, like, memorize what I order.
Well, clearly, that's how it looked like.
Because Yard House is, like, one of those, like, places where, like...
I think it's inoffensive. Like...
Yeah,
because it's really like, inoffensive.
Because it's like next to a convention center, so a lot of people that go to conventions, they live in the suburbs, so they want something that's like they're used to, something that's like I can find something for everybody here.
Yeah, and like okay, so the best thing about Yard House is that they literally do have dishes for everyone there, and so like. You go to a convention, people are literally there from all over the world. Like, the last convention that I went to, I was, like, trying to troll one of the VTuber panelists with, like, a dude who literally flew in from France, right? So, like, clearly, and that's a smaller convention. It's not, like, a particularly large one. So you can only imagine the turnout for something like AX, which is literally the second largest anime convention in the world. The only thing larger is Japan Expo, right? So Japan Expo in Paris, you know, it's the largest convention in Europe. The reason why Bro is groaning is because we both were contemplating whether or not we really wanted to drop a grand to go and see Sakurazaka.
You literally messaged me when it came out and was just like, your friend that lives in Paris, like, is his apartment still open?
Yeah. And I was like, never mind. I'm not going to be an idiot. But, like, I was super tempted. Like, Niji Sanji was going to be there. Like, Sakurazaka was going to be there. But Ten Shoujo High was going to be there. They're super fantastic. And for some reason, for some freaking reason. So usually Japan Expo and Anime Expo always used to overlap. But starting from this year, and I hope this becomes a trend, they decided to do it back to back instead. And so for all of us who are into anime and idols, we finally got the option to choose to go to both. So I was like, oh my God, I really want to go. I did not go. I'm not that crazy yet.
Do you guys want to go to day three now, Monday?
So I think for day three, I dragged around Ro a lot more than I dragged around you, because I think you were busy when the slam dunk thing happened.
Oh, yeah. So you guys, I was trying to figure out what day slam dunk was. We were supposed to go see slam dunk, but I had a meeting with someone who, with a person that has been very instrumental in the site's recent success, and that would be the person that introduced me to Johnny's.
Yeah. Plus, so, like, he introduced you to the greatness of BL.
Yes. I had never met this person face-to-face. Like, we had, like, been talking for years. And I was like, oh, my God, I finally get to, like, meet you. And I finally met him, and we talked for, like, oh, God, I think 3 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And yeah.
And then we went, he does a lot in, like, the
anime space, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, we were talking about just, like, Johnny's and how that's going, and we were talking about, like, just the con in general, and, like, Japanese music, and just, like, he introduced me to the people at Tokyo Pop, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to them a bit about just, like, BL. Because, like, my mind has changed a lot about BL, and I think part of that is, I think actually a really big part of that is due to friend of the show, Dr. Thomas Badinet of Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia. I feel like I have to say his whole title. I can't just say Tom. I have to say Dr. Thomas Badinet. Even though he wants to be called Tom, he thinks doctor is like pretentious. But yeah, and I was like talking to them, and I would like bring up like things that Tom had said, and they were just like, oh yeah, like they actually like had heard of him before, which I was like, not surprising. I mean, like he is like a very known figure in like the BL
scene.
Yeah.
Although I will say it was really funny because I tried to steal Ronald's like BL comic that he got. So I was like, you're not going to read it. I'm going to read it. He's like, no, don't take my comic. And I'm like, whoa, that's how I know you've changed.
Oh my God, because the thing is, it was they gave me a
BL. Did you read it?
I have been reading it, yes. Okay, so the thing is, though,
wait, how does it take you a month to finish a manga?
Okay, I have a lot of things going on. Okay, so what? confession to the readers. I mean, the readers, listeners, whatever. I don't like reading books. I'm constantly reading other things, articles, listening to podcasts, blogs, things like that. I know so much because I read, but I just don't read books because, like, I feel as if, like, if I want my fiction, I can just, like, you know, watch a TV show or a movie for that. I mean, like, reading fiction is kind of just, like, you know, something else I can do. But I choose not to. So this BL I got, which the name of it escapes me right now. I actually am like looking at it. I know it's across the room on a table. Let me go grab it and like tell you guys the title of it. Hold on.
This is so funny because this is exactly why I wanted to take it first. I knew I would be faster. I just knew I would be faster at reading this. So I was just like, man, like, bruh, give it to me instead. But yeah,
so
it's so funny.
I have it here. It's called Our Not-So-Lonely Planet Travel Guide by Mone Sorai. And it is, the description is, after quitting his job, Asahi tells his boyfriend, Mitsuki, that he'll marry him if they go on a trip around the world together first. Although Asahi's cautious nature often clashes with Mitsuki's carefree ways, the two grow steadily closer as they sightsee and eat their way through the first three countries on their world tour, Thailand, India, and Georgia. The people they meet and the places they see will forever change their lives. I was like, what an interesting combination of countries. Like,
Thailand, but it's also India, like,
and Georgia.
Whoever gave you this, like, kind of read you well, in that this is exactly the kind of series that I feel like, if adapted into, like, a TV drama or something, would be exactly your type.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's about traveling. It's like now BL has kind of like spread out into like older people as well. So like it's about older people. It's about like working people. It's about like discovering yourself when traveling, right? So like whoever recommended this to you was like, good job, good job.
The thing I also like about this one too so far in reading it is the fact that like, because sometimes with BL, what it is that it's like about two guys that on the surface seem like they're straight falling in love with each other. But this one is like from jump, a gay couple.
Yeah.
I liked.
It's because like now people are allowed to be gay from the get-go, if that makes any sense, right? Like, It's more socially acceptable to be gay, fundamentally. Like in Asia, I mean, right? In Asia, it's still like extremely hard, but it's still more accepted than it was in the past. And so because of that, you're seeing a lot more of these series. Like the other one that I would have recommended you was like, What Did You Eat Yesterday? Which is like a classic, right? That's something.
Yeah, that's the one that friend of the show, Tim, the series, was it the movie or the drama series about that came out?
The drama series. So the drama series came out and it's like super fun. The girls love. Yeah, it's like probably the one series that I own every volume of. That's how good it is. But like, it's one of those series where like the people are older. They're gay from the get-go. They're not like trying to explore themselves, right? So it's really nice in that sense. And this is like one of those series. And it's like relaxing, you know? There's no struggle involved. They're just, well, actually, no, I take that back. There's a little bit of struggle involved, but like, it's still like a feel-good series. It's nice. Sometimes gay series can have that too.
So, yes, thank you to that person for introducing me to Tokyo Pop, and thank you, Tokyo Pop, for giving me this. And, yeah, so, like, I'm falling into the world of BL. Ah!
Well, I think it's great in that, like, as more and more BL has come out, people have started, like, exploring new niches. And this is like one of the best things to come out of Japan, like full stop, right? Because like it's clearly infecting the other countries of Asia, and the other countries of Asia are also like responding to it in a great way. So you have like Dame in China, you have like other types of BL in Korea, you have all those like Thai BL series, which are super fantastic, right? So we're clearly way past this point of like, BL is just made by cis women for other cis women. Yeah. Like, we are 50 years past that point. And that's assuming those were cis women, right? Because, like, what the research has shown is that later on, they're not cis women. They were women trying to explore their sexuality, right? And so, like, this is one of the great things. But right after that, Ro and I went to the paragon of masculinity, the other angle.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
It's like
sports.
yeah. Like it's, I always thought it was like a big part. It was funny that when we went, right, all the other people in the press line were either Chinese or African American, right? Yeah. And I was like, this is exactly what I expected. Because China and Korea freaking worship this series. Like, I think if you were to ask every, like, Chinese person, I can say this definitively for China. I don't know where it would rank for Korea, but I think it's pretty up there. But for China, it's, like, definitely their favorite anime series of all time. I'm actually really surprised that they've never tried to take it for a drama series. But yeah, so it's like very legendary. And I was like, they're doing the premiere.
Yeah, it's just also nice to hear that, like, this is what they got into anime. Obviously, like, it's the premiere slam dunk movie. You're going to hear a story like that. They're big slam dunk fans, but it's like, it's also nice. Like, it's how big it is. You know, this is their entry point into why they're probably here at the expo.
Yeah, like, there's that, but there's also just, like, I knew it would be super hype, and that's why I wanted to drag you guys, because, like, I thought it would be very different to watch it in a movie theater full of basketball fans.
Oh, no, like, this is the one few I've watched where the audience really mattered into the movie, because it's literally watching a basketball game. It's the central, like, story. It takes place in, like, the finals of, you know, between the high schools, and it's like a flashback to the background of the whole thing. But it's literally just watching a basketball game, and you just watch people cheer, and as emotional stakes get higher, people get more hyped up, and it's like every basket is a louder cheer. It's like, yeah, you're literally at a game. It's kind of nice.
It was even funnier because they even, like, had us practice the cheers at the beginning. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. But one of the things that I was super curious about was the fact that, like, how do you remake such an iconic series, right? This is an iconic series that for multiple countries is probably, like, close to their number one, right? I told all my Filipino friends that it was coming out, and they were like, when? That was the reaction. They were all just like, when? Because they had also all watched it. And I was just like, how do you remake such, like, you know, a legendary series? And the fact that they took such a unique angle where, so the main character in the movie is actually not the main character of the series. They choose to kind of look at the series from the angle of every other character that mattered. So basically, like, all the supporting characters, with the exception of the main rival, because the main rival is kind of explored in depth in the primary series, right? And that's how they kind of wanted to take a crack at, like, you know, exploring the world of Slam Dunk. Because they were like, the original series is already amazing, and there's a reason why it takes something like, I think it's 3 traditional seasons, so that's 150 episodes, right? So they're like, we don't need to do that. Let's explore everyone else. And for the purposes of a movie, oh my God, that was such a good choice. Like, the character that they ended up choosing, I was like, whoa, like, I didn't actually think it would be such a good movie choice, but walking out of it, I was like, that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, full stop, I watched the series. This is the first time encountering it. But the character they chose has such a rich, like, background to basketball. So I think it really made a really good choice to kind of follow. I mean, like, compared to, was it Hanamichi? That was the main one in the actual manga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His name. The idiot redhead.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So he, like, you know, that's what he's treated as, like, a very side character who, yeah, like, a little airheaded. Funny airheaded, though. But it's, like, not I watched the movie. It's, like, how could this person be the main protagonist, you know? Like, obviously, probably, yeah. I don't know if you explore more in the manga of his story, so I don't know. It's not in depth in this movie, so I can't really tell. But it's, like, the name escapes me, the main protagonist for the movie. But it's, like, wow, this, like, why would this person not be the main cast?
I think it's because in the main series, it was a much lighthearted series, right? Like, yeah. They didn't want it to have that sort of, like, emotional gravity that I think his name is like Miyagi. They didn't want that sort of like emotional gravity to the main series because they were like, oh, it's a shonen jump series. It should be light. But the fact that it could feel so refreshing told from that point was just like mind boggling to me.
Yeah, because
I was I'm so invested.
Because I do have reservation for jump stuff, and then yeah. Much of the sense that it's like, you know, it's that's not the lightheartedness of it, but it's kind of jockish, you know, and it's kind of,
it really is.
At least from that generation of like late, I don't know, Slam Dunk is a mid 90s or say, but 90s, late 90s,
yeah,
2000s.
Yeah.
As that very
90s series,
as that very 90s jump flavor to it. It's, you know, so it's, I don't have reservations for it, but it seems, I think it just has more of a ladder, like, you know, more of a recent sport anime kind of, in the sense, you know, and sort of like, it's like a little more emotional, I think, rather compared to like older jump stuff, I would say.
It was so great because like it didn't feel like it was treating us like idiots, right? But it also felt so like reverential to So, like, the main thing. And remember what you said about the main theme song?
Mm-hmm.
Where you were like, oh, this is so great. I forget who did the theme song, but you were like, it's like that classic 90s rock sound into, like, this newer rock sound. And I was like, oh, that is true.
The theme
song for it is Die Zero Song by 10 Feet.
Oh, so yeah, so 10 Feet, that's the ending theme. I feel like that is very, like, recent sport jump stuff, where it's, like, pop punk, classic
punk.
The intro, we should probably have to look it up, but it's very 90s blues revival, like, very husky. Like, I think Hannah said they smoke, like, 10 packs of cigarettes. Like, that type of vocal. Or very reminiscent of, like, the Michelle...
like Glay and stuff, like you Glay, listen to it and you're like, wow, you know, this is like definitely like it's very Osan vibe, but in a cool way, right?
Yeah, it's like the 90s rock that really dominated that era of when Slam Dunk was around.
Yeah, and like when they did the change to the outro, that actually like sent shivers down my spine because I was like, that was so cool. Like the way that so when they did the intro, it's that like 90s sound and you see somebody like kind of sketching each of the characters. And that's where you get the first hint that the main character has shifted, right? That the perspective of the entire thing has shifted because the person they save for last is like not who you'd expect. And then when they shift to the outro, it's like right as they do the final shot or something, that's when like you get blasted into this like modern song. So I'm just like, whoa, like this is super fitting.
Yeah, and it's like it was a big movie in Japan last year, right?
So I think it's playing this year. It just finished its run. That's how popular it was. I think in Japan, it had just finished its run. It might come back. I don't know. And then, because it started in December and like very, very late December. And then in Korea, it was actually one of the highest grossing movies this year, if not the number one. I don't know if another movie has like overtaken it, but it was very, very popular. So kudos to them.
So you guys were watching the movie and I was having my meeting, and then we met up later on, and then we went to that party. But so Hannah had us go to a anime music club in the middle of the day. I still remember, like, your one friend, I had to, like, chase after him and call him. And he was just like, oh, who are you cosplaying as? And I was like, this is just my outfit. I was just wearing like a pair of like floral jeans and like a blue oversized button down shirt. It was like,
and the only reason why somebody who goes to Anime Expo would dress up in the minds of a weeb is, you know, somebody who's cosplaying.
These are just my regular clothes.
Oh my gosh.
It took forever to find the venue. I feel embarrassed.
It was in an alley.
It was in an alleyway and you had to like go downstairs.
That's why I was like, there's no way it's in the alleyway, and that's literally it.
Yeah, it was literally in... I wanted to call my friends and just be like, am I gonna die?
There's, like, no signal in it either.
Yeah, like, we all needed Wi-Fi passwords to get signal. So I was like, am I gonna die? Is this how I die? Because I decided to go to a freaking... to a freaking thing in the middle of the alley and just follow my friends. Although, I will say, it was great to drag you guys to an Anikura, finally.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like, people go to clubs and they're, like, kind of, like, not satisfied with the music they play, but, like, in the way that, like, they're so, like, entrenched in their niche that's, like, no, it's, like, they would never play that at a club. It's, like, that's your interest. It's not club-friendly. But it's, like, it's literally, like, what anime we would be, like, oh, I wish at the club they would play these anime songs. It's literally that come true. And since, like, I heard Idol, like, went me twice, maybe? Like, Yo Sylvie's Idol in there? It was just, like, 5 minutes in. That's what I hear. It's, like, wow. And then it's also felt like, oh, I wish this Anna song would play at like EDM, and it's like EDM remixes of those songs that people love. It's like, it's so catered to Anna song lovers, you know, in the sense that like now I can finally go to a club or a EDM fest now because they actually play songs I like.
I know, right? And the best part was, so a couple of my friends were actually DJing during the event, and I literally look at the guy and I'm like, if you don't play Dedombu right now, I'll jump on the stage and end you. Because like Dedombu is EDM, but it's Annie song. And so they're all very like, it's all just that like, hey, we're a bunch of weebs, but we want to also, you know, club out. And so one of my favorite memories was just all of the drinks on the menu. How, like, they teamed up with the bar to... So, for those of you who are listening and definitely want to go to this event next year, because you all should, it's run by a group called Annie Clover, which is, like, a great West Coast group. They're a group of West Coast DJs that do a lot of, like, Annie Sung events. And it was great because they had teamed up with the hotel to offer like a bunch of like very weeb friendly, super weeb friendly like drinks. And I'm trying to pull up a picture of the menu because I just remember being like, holy shit, like these drinks are actually really good. It was like Annie Clover Club, Sailor Moonshine, because a couple of the people in the Annie Clover, very, very big, like, IMAS piece. So that's a reference to, like, Hotel Moonshine. Blue Clapper and Alcohol Yamato. So you're there, you're with a bunch of your weed friends, and you're all geeking out to music. So you're all just like, yeah, like, this is super fun.
Yeah, I think it's...
And Ronald... Oh, go ahead.
It's, like, the one... Like, my connection to anime is actually through music. So it's just... You know, like, obviously I wish I knew more songs that they play, but it's, like, the one place where, like, my, you know, Venn diagram of anime music kind of, like, you know, came about. So,
yeah.
Like, I got to hear Taku Inoue play Midnight Grand Orchestra, Sanji Junihun. That was fun.
Exactly. Like, it's super fun to hear all of that. Because he played later on, right?
Who
was it? Because I know they had a guest DJ later on. It was like, it might have been DJ Kaz or something. But there was like one guest DJ later, and I was just like, damn, I wish I could stay, but I have to leave for this other thing, which was sad, but still, it was worth it. I forget.
Yeah, because you left. How was the thing that you left to go to?
So another thing that normally happens at these events is fans of different franchises will meet up together. So like one of my friends was playing Mahjong in the streets of LA with all the other Idolmaster fans. Like that was a thing that was going on. And I was like, why Mahjong? He never explained. The thing that I went to was a Niji Sanji meetup where literally it was like 40 to 50 people all just met up and we all bond together over like over Niji Sanji. And it's considered like an off-kai, so we were all drinking heavily too, right? Because that's what you do at off-kais. You like drink as much as possible. So yeah, it was like really, really fun. I still talk to everybody from there. And it was just hilarious because like you talk to someone and you'd be like, I recognize you from chat. And you just had this, whoa, it's you moment.
So I think that was like the end of the expo, wasn't it? Because like I know that I left the next morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After that, like me and like you and Ronald and I hung out and then we left. That's my end of that night at my expo.
Yeah, so how'd you guys like it?
I liked it. It was actually like it was surprisingly enjoyable.
Like, I'm glad you guys were there. Like, I had an opportunity. It's not an excuse, but it's just, like, an opportunity. Like, okay, like, my friends are gone. I want to meet up. I want to, like, see what this is all about.
And did you enjoy it? I feel like there was a butt there.
I did. Like, it was just so much to see, so much to experience.
It is a lot. It is a whole lot to take in.
I wish, like, I
what
got...
What do you mean by a whole lot? Oh, go ahead. Wait, what'd you say?
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, like, I wish I got souvenirs that I wanted, but I didn't really see anything I liked. But that's about it.
It's sad that they didn't have... You know the new, like, idol cover? The one that looks like an 80s city pop idol release?
Or like the vinyl release with the OB and everything?
Yeah. I wish they had that. But I also figure that would have sold out in like seconds.
I mean, like Ronald can attest to this. Like every other booth was an Oshinoko fan art booth. So...
Basically,
Yeah, there's so much Oshinoko. I think I heard Idol 50 times that weekend. Like, it was crazy.
Obviously, we saw Hoshino Ai cosplay. Like, it was the series. Just kind of watch.
But yeah, welcome to my chaos, guys.
Yes, this episode has basically been an extended fall into the depths of Hannah's hellhole. It's the segment we haven't had in a while, but like, good God, it's come roaring back today.
And I win. Ronald said it was pretty cool.
So, do you have any closing remarks on Anime Expo?
So, like, Anime Expo is Anime Expo. It is what it is, but it's definitely so as much as we ran around, this is not your typical like crazy anime expo. It's just a anime expo. And so I would definitely say I would definitely say that, like, I definitely want to go back. And yeah, I'm going to be dragging people back again. So look forward to next year.
If you guys go, if you guys go, just let me know.
Yeah, we're definitely going back.
That's a threat.
What are your guys' closing thoughts?
I enjoyed it. It was my first, I think my third time at an anime convention. My first one at Anime Expo, the biggest one in North America. Yeah, it was enjoyable.
I mean, like I said, a lot to experience. If you guys go, I'm definitely willing to go again. Just to experience it all one more time.
Yeah, let's go. And next time we're gonna line up.
Oh my god, I felt like we did enough lining up.
No, so there's one thing that you guys did not experience this convention was what's known as autograph hell. So next year, I'm hoping they bring someone. Someone that will make you guys line up for autograph hell.
I guess that's the one thing. Like, I wish I actually had like a sighting of some sort. I know I wanted to see Tomoki Kusunoki at her panel, which I could not make. But just I wish I got to see. It's not that I know a lot of. I would probably recognize them, but I wish like I maybe took more time to see, I guess, a celebrity or some sort.
Yeah, because the autographs at AX are normally free. So it's super, they're really fun. And you, like, a signing normally takes about 30 seconds. So it's really great.
I'm just waiting for, like, Bang Dream to come again. But
then you can see dream how upon crazy dream. We are. No, it's not going to be a dream. Don't worry. It's not going to be a dream. I promise.
Oh, God, that devious laugh thing.